Chapter 69. This chapter relates how Narada Muni was amazed to see the household pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, and how Narada offered prayers to Krishna. After killing the demon Naraka, Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 maidens, and sage Narada wanted to observe Krishna's diverse activities in this unique family situation. Thus, Narada went to Dwaraka. Narada entered one of the 16,000 palaces and saw Goddess Rukmini personally rendering menial service to Sri Krishna, despite her being in the company of thousands of maidservants. As soon as Lord Krishna noticed Narada, Krishna got up from his bed, offered obeisances to the sage, and seated Narada on his own seat. Then Krishna bathed Narada's feet, sprinkling the water on his own head. Such was the exemplary behavior of Lord Sri Krishna. After conversing with Krishna for a short while, Narada went to another of Krishna's palaces, where the sage saw Sri Krishna playing dice with his queen and Uddhava. Going from there to another palace, Narada found Lord Krishna coddling his infant children, and in another palace, Narada saw Krishna preparing to take bath, in another performing fire sacrifices, in another feeding brahmanas, and still in another eating the remnants left by brahmanas. In one palace, Krishna was performing noontime rituals, in another quietly chanting the Gayatri mantra, in another sleeping on his bed, in another consulting with his ministers, and in yet another playing in water with female companions. Somewhere Krishna was giving charity to brahmanas. In another place, Krishna was joking and laughing with his consort. In yet another place, Krishna was meditating on the Super Soul. Somewhere, Krishna was serving his spiritual masters. In another place, Krishna was arranging for the marriages of his sons and daughters. Somewhere else, Krishna was going out to hunt animals. And elsewhere, Krishna was moving about in disguise to find out what the citizens were thinking. Having seen all of this, Narada addressed Lord Krishna. Only because I have served your lotus feet can I understand these varieties of your yogamaya potency, which ordinary living beings, bewildered by illusion, cannot begin to perceive. Thus, I am most fortunate, and I simply desire to travel all over the three worlds, chanting the glories of your pastimes, which purify all the worlds. Sri Krishna asked Narada not to be confused by this vision of Krishna's transcendental opulences, and described to Narada the purposes of his appearances in this world. Krishna then honored the sage Narada properly, according to religious principles, and then Narada departed, continuously meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chapter 70. This chapter describes Lord Sri Krishna's daily activities, and it also describes two proposals placed before Krishna, one by a messenger from Dwaraka and another by the sage Narada. In the early hours of the morning, Lord Krishna would rise from bed and bathe in clear water. After executing the rituals at dawn and other religious duties, Krishna would offer oblations into the sacred fire. He would chant the Gayatri mantra, worship and pay tribute to the demigods, sages and forefathers, and also offer respects to learned brahmanas. Then Krishna would touch auspicious substances. He would decorate himself with celestial ornaments and then gratify his subjects, giving them whatever they desired. Krishna's chariot driver, Dwarika, would bring Krishna's chariot, and then Krishna would mount it and then drive to the royal assembly hall. When Krishna would take his seat in the assembly, surrounded by the Yadavas, Krishna would appear like the moon surrounded by the circle of stars called nakshatras. Bards would recite Krishna's praises to the accompaniment of drums, cymbals, veenas, and other instruments. On one occasion, the doorkeepers escorted a messenger into the assembly hall. The messenger offered prostrated obeisances to Krishna, and then, standing with joined palms, addressed Lord Sri Krishna. O Lord, Jarasandha has captured 20,000 kings and is holding them prisoner. Please do something, for these kings are all your surrendered devotees. Just at that very moment, Narada Muni appeared. Lord Sri Krishna and all the members of the assembly stood up and offered obeisances to Narada by bowing their heads. Sage Narada accepted a seat, and then Lord Krishna gently questioned Narada. Since you travel all over the universe, please inform us what the Pandava brothers are planning to do. My Lord, King Yudhisthira desires to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. For this, Yudhisthira requests your sanction and presence. Many demigods and illustrious kings will come just to see you. Understanding that the Yadavas wanted Krishna to defeat Jarasandha, Lord Krishna asked his wise minister Uddhava to determine which of the two matters at hand, the defeat of Jarasandha or the Rajasuya sacrifice, should be attended to first. Chapter 71. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna followed Uddhava's advice and went to Indraprastha, where the Pandavas celebrated Krishna's arrival with great festivity. Wise Uddhava, knowing Lord Krishna's inner desire, advised Krishna as follows. By conquering all directions and then performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, King Yudhisthira will fulfill all his purposes, defeating Jarasandha, protecting those who have taken shelter of you, and executing the Rajasuya Yajna. Thus, the Yadava's powerful enemy will be destroyed and the imprisoned kings freed, and both deeds will glorify you, my lord. King Jarasandha can be killed only by Bhima, and since Jarasandha is very devoted to the Brahmanas, Bhima should disguise himself as a Brahmana, go to Jarasandha and beg a fight from him. Then, in your presence, Bhima will defeat the demon Jarasandha. Narada Muni, the Yadava elders, and Lord Krishna all praised Uddhava's plan, and Lord Krishna proceeded to mount his chariot and head for Indraprastha, followed by his devoted queens. Soon Lord Krishna arrived in Indraprastha, and hearing of Krishna's arrival, King Yudhisthira immediately came out of the city to greet Krishna. Yudhisthira repeatedly embraced Krishna, losing external consciousness in ecstasy. Then Bhimasena, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, and others each embraced or bowed down to Krishna as was appropriate. After Lord Krishna had properly greeted everyone, Krishna entered the city of Indraprastha with a fanfare of many musical instruments playing and reverential hymns chanted. The women of Indraprastha scattered flowers down from the rooftops, remarking on the extreme good fortune of Krishna's queens. Then Sri Krishna entered the royal palace and offered respects to Queen Kunti Devi, who embraced her nephew, and Draupadi and Subhadra offered obeisances to Krishna. Kunti Devi then requested Draupadi to worship Lord Krishna's wives. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, gratified King Yudhisthira, remaining there for some months. And during this stay, Krishna enjoyed strolling here and there. Krishna would drive on chariots with Arjuna, followed by many warriors and soldiers. Chapter 72. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna heard King Yudhisthira's request and then arranged for Bhimasena to defeat Jarasandha. One day, King Yudhisthira addressed Lord Krishna as they were sitting in the royal assembly. "My Lord, I wish to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. For in this sacrifice, people who are uninterested in your devotional service will be able to see firsthand the superiority of your devotees, and they will see the inferiority of non-devotees. And they will also be able to see your lotus feet. O King, your scheme is so excellent that it will spread your fame throughout the universe. Indeed, all living beings should desire that this sacrifice be performed. So in order to make this sacrifice possible, however, you must first defeat all the kings of the earth and collect all the necessary paraphernalia." Satisfied with Lord Krishna's words, King Yudhisthira sent his brothers to conquer the various directions. And after they had conquered or won the loyalty of the kings in their assigned directions, they brought back abundant wealth to their king Yudhisthira. They informed him, however, that Jarasandha could not be defeated. As King Yudhisthira pondered how he could subdue Jarasandha, Sri Krishna revealed to Yudhisthira the means for doing so, following the previous advice of Uddhava. Bhima, Arjuna, and Sri Krishna then disguised themselves as brahmanas and went to the palace of Jarasandha, who was very devoted to the brahminical class. They introduced themselves as brahmanas to King Jarasandha, flattering him, praising his reputation for hospitality, and requested him to grant their desire. Seeing the marks of bowstrings on their limbs, Jarasandha concluded that they were warriors, not brahmanas. But still, even though fearful, he promised to fulfill whatever desire they might have. At that point, Lord Krishna discarded his disguise and asked Jarasandha to fight him in one-to-one combat. But Jarasandha refused, claiming that Krishna was a coward because Krishna had once fled the battlefield. Jarasandha also declined to fight Arjuna on the plea that Arjuna was inferior in age and size. So Jarasandha considered only Bhima a worthy opponent. Thus, Jarasandha handed Bhima a club and took up another himself, and they all went outside of the city to begin fighting. After the fight had gone on for some time, it became clear that the two opponents were too equally matched for either to gain victory. Lord Krishna then split a small tree branch in half, showing Bhima how to thus kill Jarasandha. Bhima threw Jarasandha to the ground, stepped on one of his legs, seized the other with his arms, and proceeded to tear Jarasandha from his genitals to his head. Seeing Jarasandha dead, his relatives and subjects cried out in lamentation. Lord Krishna then appointed Jarasandha's son ruler of Magadha, and then released the kings Jarasandha had imprisoned. Chapter 73. This chapter relates how Lord Sri Krishna, after freeing the kings imprisoned by Jarasandha, mercifully gave them his audience and bestowed royal gifts upon them. When Lord Krishna freed the 20,800 kings Jarasandha had imprisoned, they immediately fell to the ground, paying Krishna obeisances. Then the king stood with joined palms and began to pray to Krishna. Seeing their imprisonment as an act of mercy by Krishna to smash their false pride, the kings prayed only to be granted whatever would facilitate their perpetual remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna assured the kings that their prayer would be fulfilled, and then Krishna instructed them, "You should all worship me by performing Vedic sacrifices, and you should protect your subjects in accordance with the principles of religion. Fixing your minds upon me, you should beget progeny and remain always equipoised, either in happiness or distress. And thus, at the end of your lives, you will surely attain me." Lord Krishna then saw to it that the kings were properly bathed and dressed, and then Krishna had Sahadev, Jarasandha's son, offer them flower garlands, sandalwood pulp, fine clothing, and other things suitable for kings. After having them adorned with jewels and golden ornaments, Krishna seated the kings on chariots, sending them off to their respective kingdoms. In accordance with the orders Krishna had given them, the kings began to carry out their various duties once again. Lord Krishna, Bhima, and Arjuna then departed for Indraprastha, where they met with King Yudhishthir, relating to him everything that had happened. Chapter 74. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna received the honor of first worship during the Rajasuya sacrifice, and how Krishna killed Shishupal. After glorifying Lord Krishna, King Yudhishthir selected qualified Brahmins such as Bharadvaj, Gautama, and Vasistha to serve as priests of the Rajasuya sacrifice. The many exalted guests of all the four social orders arrived to see the sacrificial performance. As the sacrifice proceeded, the ritual of first worship had to be performed, and the members of the assembly were called upon to decide who would receive this honor. Then Sahadev spoke up. "Sri Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is indeed the most exalted person, for Krishna himself comprises all the deities worshipped by Vedic sacrifice. In Krishna's role as Super Soul in the heart, Krishna arranges for everyone in the universe to engage in one's particular kind of work. And by Krishna's mercy alone, human beings can perform various kinds of pious activities and thus receive the resultant benefits. So one who worships Krishna worships all living entities. Surely, Lord Krishna should be worshipped first." Nearly everyone in the assembly agreed with Sahadev's proposal and loudly congratulated Sahadev. Thus, King Yudhishthir happily worshipped Lord Krishna. After bathing Krishna's feet, the king took the wash water and sprinkled it on his head, and his wives, younger brothers, ministers, and relatives also sprinkled that water on their own heads. Then everyone shouted, "Jai! All victory! Jai! All victory!" And then they all bowed down to Lord Krishna as flowers rained down from above. However, Shishupal could not tolerate this worship and glorification of Sri Krishna. Shishupal stood up from his seat and harshly rebuked the wise elders for choosing Krishna to be worshipped first. "Well, after all, this Krishna is outside the system of Vedic social and spiritual orders and outside the society of respectable families. Krishna follows no principles of religion, and Krishna has no good qualities." And even as Shishupal continued to blaspheme Krishna in this way, Lord Krishna remained silent. But many members of the assembly covered their ears and quickly left the hall, while the Pandava brothers raised their weapons and prepared to kill Shishupal. Lord Krishna stopped them from attacking, however, and instead used his Sudarshana disc to decapitate the offender, Shishupal. At that very moment, an effulgent spark of light rose out of the dead body of Shishupal and entered the transcendental body of Lord Krishna. Having lived through three births as the enemy of Krishna, Shishupal now attained the liberation known as Sayujya, merging into Krishna by dint of his constant meditation upon Krishna. King Yudhishthir then distributed profuse gifts to the respected guests of the assembly and also to the priests. And finally, Yudhishthir executed the purificatory oblations known as the Prayaschitta Homa, which counteracts errors made during the sacrifice. Yudhishthir's Rajasuya sacrifice having now been completed, Lord Krishna took leave from the king and set off for Dwaraka in the company of his wives and ministers. However, Duryodhan could not bear to see this abundant manifestation of King Yudhishthir's prosperity. But apart from him, everyone else happily praised the glories of the Rajasuya sacrifice, and they all praised the Lord of all sacrifices, Lord Sri Krishna. Chapter 75. This chapter describes the glorious conclusion of the Rajasuya sacrifice and how Prince Duryodhan was humiliated in the palace of King Yudhishthir. At the time of Maharaj Yudhishthir's Rajasuya sacrifice, many of his relatives and well-wishers endeavored to please Yudhishthir by performing necessary services. And when the sacrifice was complete, the king adorned the priests, the exalted members of the assembly, and his own relatives with fragrant sandalwood paste, flower garlands, and fine clothing. Then they all went to the bank of the Ganges to perform the ritual bathing that marks the end of the sponsor's period of initiation for the sacrifice. Before the final bathing, there was much sporting in the river among the male and female participants. Sprinkled with aromatic water and other liquids, Draupadi and the other ladies appeared most beautiful, their faces shining with bashful laughter. After the priests had executed the final rituals, the king and his queen, Srimati Draupadi, bathed in the Ganges. Then, all those present who belonged to the orders of Varnashram took their baths. Yudhishthir put on new clothes and worshipped the learned Brahmanas. He worshiped his family, friends, and well-wishers, each in the particular manner suitable for them, and also offered them all kinds of various gifts. The guests then departed for their own homes, but King Yudhisthira was so anxious about imminent separation from those who were dear to him that Yudhisthira compelled several of his relatives and closest friends, including Lord Krishna, to remain in Indraprastha a bit longer. The royal palace of King Yudhisthira had been constructed by Maya Danava, who endowed it with many wonderful features and opulences. King Duryodhan burned with envy when he saw these riches. One day, Yudhisthira was seated with Lord Krishna in his royal assembly hall. Attended by his subordinates and family members, King Yudhisthira manifested a magnificence equal to that of Lord Indra. At that time, Duryodhana entered the hall in a fitful mood. Bewildered by the mystic craft of Maya Danava, Duryodhana mistook parts of the solid floor for water, thus lifting his garment. And yet, in another place, Duryodhana fell into the water, mistaking it for the solid floor. When Bhimasena, the ladies of the court, and the royal princes all saw this, they began to laugh. Although Maharaj Yudhisthira tried to stop them, Lord Krishna encouraged their laughter. Thoroughly embarrassed, Duryodhana left the assembly hall in a fury and immediately departed for Hastinapur. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Krishna book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.